morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
You know what? We need that
we
energy.
We do.
Chuck did the morning show today. People like him on that morning show. And we got a quiet day on the roster here. But we need a little energy. We walk in. Brendan Schaefer, who was acting kind of like an SNL skit from the Night at the Roxbury. He's like dancing to the music, even though his Mizzou squad stinks. No offense if Jim Stirk's still listening. But Schaefer actually brought the energy right out of the open. Thank you, pal. Thank you. We needed that.
Let's do this.
I'm excited to talk. I got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to. Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, InsideSTL.com. One thing we will do for sure at 1 o'clock, Jeff Rainford, who was chief of staff for Mayor Slay. He's now what I would call a political insider, especially with all things city, having run, run the staff for the mayor, knows the inner workings of City Hall. And we spent time yesterday at the Scott Trade Center. And it was Frank who had Chris Zimmerman on, who's the Blues president. He's the business guy. He's not going to sign Colton Pareko to a deal. No, he's going to make sure that the marketing is done right, that the building, the upkeep, that's his world. And so he's on with Frank, and Frank said, all I did was tweet out that picture of the scoreboard. God bless. And Kara Spencer, can I call it the older woman, right? You can't say alderman.
Whoa. I've seen it written that way, though.
That she's an alderman?
Yeah.
I get confused on that. So alder, I'm guessing in her world, I better say alder person. I'm just going to guess. No offense. Alder person. But that sounds really weird. That sounds worse. Anyway, she's on the board of aldermen. She is on the board of aldermen. Tweeted back at Frank and said, oh, great, we got a new video board funded by the public. That'll fix all of our problems. Which really kind of ticked me off. So then I responded to her tweet, which is weird because she was tweeting at Frank, but then I chimed in and I said, to recap, the city owns the arena. The arena brings events and concerts to downtown St. Louis. The arena generates revenue for the city. City decides to fix up said arena. Yes, preposterous. And the overwhelming majority, like, you know, favored it, liked it, whatever. But then a few people are like, oh, really? The city owns it? I'm like, well, they do. Oh, do the Blues lease? They have a lease? I said, yes, a 50-year lease. Oh, is it really a lease? And I said, yes. Well, they only pay $1 a year. And I said, okay. I could lease you a mansion tomorrow, and I could charge you 50 cents. Whatever. We sign an agreement. That's a lease. Well, that's disingenuous. So then a guy said, how about this? The city gives me a house, a big, beautiful house. I'll take one. Are they giving those away? And now, like, my blood's boiling. You can't reach into your computer and, like, grab people by the throat, which would be violent. And I wouldn't do anything violent, of course. But I was so pissed off. And I'm like, I just said, dumb. Just dumb. Does your house that I give you employ people? Does the house that I give you generate revenue and tax dollars? Does the parking lot next to this house I just gave you generate revenue that goes directly to the city? All of the parking at the Peabody/Scott Trade. All of that money goes right to the city. That is part of the agreement. And Charles, you know what? They have a lease, which is an agreement. We'll do this if you do this. And it also says in there that we'll take care of the renovations, but if there's any capital improvements, the city is in charge of that. Well, for 23 years, the Blues just fixed stuff, just paid for stuff. And they estimate since they moved into the building, or actually they can prove it, I think they've got the documents too, they have spent like $220 million on upkeep on the building. Now, that may include the initial money spent. So when they built that, this is getting, now I'm giving myself a headache. But when they built it, the city threw in $15 million. And the owners of the Blues, which were the Kiel Center partners, said, we'll pay for the rest. It was like a $170 million project. The owners of the team said, we'll pay for it. You give us $15 million, we'll do the rest. They did. That's an investment from ownership. That gets passed along. Whoever owns the team, that counts. So they've been doing all of this. And then they raise their hand and say, you know what? This building is starting to fall apart. And if the NCAA is going to keep coming back, and if the SEC is going to have tournaments here, and you want to be competitive, and you want to fill this building, not just when the Blues play there, it needs some work.
Concerts.
Concerts, et cetera.
Arch Madness.
You want it to be a hub. So this idea that, well, they're just giving money away. How come it's our fault the Blues are losing money? The point is not even the Blues. They're the main tenant there, but they're leading the charge to make sure that we have a quality arena in downtown St. Louis that attracts big events, that generates revenue that people are employed at. I don't get why that is so hard to comprehend. And then the same guy who I wanted to reach through the monitor.
See, you're allowing
and just
though,
say hi. And I get mad at people that get mad at Twitter.
This is funny, though. And I have some,
I'm mad at myself.
I'd like to read as well. But this is what's crazy about Twitter, is you don't want that one Looney Tune to get to you, but that person does, because you press that at mention. You want to be the adult. You want to be the bigger person. But unfortunately, this random person who probably hates their life, they just want to be negative all the time, and they can just get to you because they can directly tweet right at you. They can be very mean. They can be very negative. And it is annoying.
And my problem is, I don't want to appear that I walked away or I gave up or, oh, I got you good, you stopped responding. But I also don't want to be an idiot at my desk at Fox 2 while the 9 o'clock sports is getting way behind because I'm over here going back and forth with some jack wagon.
Listen here, Cards fan 27.
And then he says,
you don't know anything.
Well, the difference between renovations and capital improvements is what's at odds here. And I said, okay, the semantics police are now out in full force. Not semantics at all. It's the subject of a lawsuit. He said, how about this? The Blues should propose things before we give them whatever they want. And I said, yes, yes, you're right. They should take it to the Board of Aldermen and have them vote on it. And they did, you jackass. I didn't tweet that, though. I wish I had.
He's a jackbag.
And then I just finally turned away from my screen and said, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Can you?
I'll let Jeff Rainford explain it better than I have, hopefully at 1 o'clock.
That should be just your TKO one night, just yelling at that guy.
Jackass.
Yeah.
Here's a good way to end the argument, though. Seriously. Because this person will keep coming back at you because they have nothing else to do. The way you end these arguments are, you throw your last tweet at them and you say, look, and you have that ending line, your finishing move, boom, and then you say, look, I'm now muting you. I will not see your response. And that gives you the last word. You can have the final salvo and you say you're now being muted or blocked and you say, I will never see your response again. That ensures you have the last word.
Well, I think I won. Well, I know I won, Charlie.
You got
him,
Martin.
Of course I won.
You got him.
And I feel bad. I could sleep last night. But after the last one where I said, well, maybe they should take it to a vote. Maybe you're right. You're right. This shouldn't just be handed over. They should have a vote. Oh, wait, they did. And then somebody joined that Twitter conversation, Charlie, and they held up the Leonardo DiCaprio Leo toasting with a glass of champagne. I don't know if it's from Catch Me If You Can, what it's from.
I think it's from...
It's not Titanic.
No, the one where they...
The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, Great Gatsby.
Okay. Yeah, very much a guess.
And he's kind of winking.
Yeah, at that point I thought, okay, I win. Okay, because floundering Fred and Fenton just tweeted in and he joined the conversation. He thinks I won. I'm good.
Congratulations to us.
Yes,
good job. So related, but not exactly related. And it just speaks to how negative, pessimistic everybody is on Twitter. Because the same thing yesterday, I post a picture on Twitter and I just say, Blues new video board. And I tweet out a picture of the video board. Somebody tweets back, that should get us to the finals.
Right.
Like, it's the video board that actually helps you win the Stanley Cup. I mean, seriously. And then another person.
Everybody sucks. You know what?
Everybody does.
Can somebody
suck.
Sponsor? Who wants to sponsor this segment? Everybody sucks.
Here's, this one's even worse.
Including us.
And I got to find it here. A woman, after I just post a picture and it says Blues new video board. That's all I post. Nothing political, nothing else.
Did you say take that, Obama?
She tweets, I hope the protesters smash it. I hope the protesters smash the brand new video board.
Great. That'll fix everything. Smash everything.
What kind of a world are we living in?
I had to...
855-282-8255. What kind of world are we living in? I can tell you, 3 years ago, there were a lot of protests in the wake of Ferguson. And my understanding is that, you know, some of the protest leaders told the Blues, you know, we might get in the building and we might lead some disruptions. And the Blues kind of said, oh, I wouldn't do that. I don't think that's a good idea. And they said, no, we may be here. First of all, I said, what I would say is, are you sure you want to pay $80 to see him play Calgary on a Tuesday night? Love the Blues, of course. But they more or less, and I think the police chimed in and said, that could get kind of messy. Because they got their hockey shirts on. They kind of miss fighting in the game. And I wouldn't do that.
Don't
it's kind of like Mongo. I don't recommend that.
Are you trying to say the Hooge contingent
no.
could be at a certain
don't
level?
Don't tangle with hockey, folk.
We police ourselves around here.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is the Midday Grind. What did we start with? Me being mad at Twitter. How stupid is that?
Well, I got upset this morning and resisted sending out a tweet. Because I know it could be sensitive right now with the protests going on and the Stockley verdict that occurred. So there's, you know, a lot of tension. And my favorite alderman, the hipster of Dogtown, tweeted out his statement on the verdict. And I didn't even want to go through it, but I started reading it just because I saw it had been tweeted out. And I almost just quote tweeted it and said, "Are you okay? There's no mention of bike lanes in this." And I was like, you know what? I'm going to save myself the hassle for later and just not do that. But now I just said it.
Because,
so there we go.
Because you get yourself worked up and you're like, you don't even spend any time on it.
And it had nothing to do with what he was trying to say too. So then I was like, you know what? This is a situation I probably should just take myself out of or not attempt to insert myself into it. And well, I guess I had to get it off my chest right now because of what you were saying and how you got mad at Twitter.
It's hard to, you know, the Herm Edwards, don't hit send. It's really hard to live by that mantra. But that's the famous Charles Jaco, our former colleague, when he worked at the Mighty Mox. My understanding, and I don't know if he's listening, and he's probably not, he could correct me if I have the facts wrong, but somebody sent him a scathing email, or maybe even a letter back then. This is probably 20 years ago. And they were just blistering him for an interview he had conducted on the station. And they were highly appalled, and they thought he was way out of line, all of this stuff. The problem is, it wasn't an interview that he had done. It was somebody else. So they skewered him, and so he wrote back, I guess it was email. And it was, A, I didn't conduct an interview. B, go bleep yourself. C, refer back to B. And I believe that was like the end of his run there. Something to that effect. We'll have to ask him. Anyway, let's talk about something more positive, Charles.
Well, real quick, Joe Buck has tweeted many times, and it's great, because people will tweet at him and say, oh, you were horrible in our game. You always root against the Giants. You always root for the Eagles. You were horrible in our game. It'll be a game that Kevin Burkhardt did.
Right.
And Joe Buck's not even calling the game, and they're coming after him.
Yeah, that's perfect. I got chewed out on the phone by a lady, called me years ago, and it was the Goody Goody Diner. And she said her sister worked there, and I stiffed him on the bill, or so I didn't give a tip. It was like this long thing. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I go, what was this? She said, yeah, I'm very ashamed of you working in the news and acting like that, and goes through this whole thing.
Sounds kind of like you, to be honest.
Goes through this whole spiel, and I said, I've never been there in my life. I don't even know where it is. I've heard of it. Charlie told him, of course you haven't been there, Kim Hall. You're afraid to go to Goody Goody Diner. I'd never been there.
Any late nights where you're drinking a lot and
no,
don't remember?
No. No chance. And then after I just, all I said, she went on like a diatribe. I said, ma'am, I've never been there in my life. And in fact, Saturday I was in Chicago or wherever. And she goes, oh, okay, never mind. I'm like,
no, sorry.
Okay, never mind. But in the meantime, go ahead and tell everybody.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering who it was.
Right. Might have been Doug Vaughn. You know, he's probably
Let's
up
go
there.
With that.
Oh, well, I guess it was
well,
me.
Well, I couldn't find my wallet, and Johnny took it that morning.
There's no photographers here. I have to do a story on squash.
Hey, I was going to tell you about that. You want to run over there and cover it? Frank went there yesterday.
Hey, man. I've already been working. Jim Sturt in studio here. some great sound bites. Did an interview with Frank. We did a quick TV interview with Jim Sterk. You can watch it later tonight on Fox 2, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11.
I heard Jim Sterk with Frank, and for a minute, I thought Frank was talking to Brendan Schaefer. Voice quality, voice match game. I think Jim Sterk sounds a little bit like Schaefer. Is anybody? Did anybody hear that in his voice?
I agree.
I didn't even think of to listen to it because I was just busy wondering if Sterk would start throwing out names like Les Miles or Dan Mullen.
I was hoping.
I was just waiting for that, so I really wasn't paying attention to the voice.
Were you passing him notes under the table? Guy would be good.
I did kind of, you know how he sat in the Martin chair where you can't see because of the TV screen
Awkward.
That's in the way. So I did have to turn it because I wanted to be able to see his face when he was talking. And, I was just like, man, this guy, he's the one that turned around Mizzou basketball.
He sat down in front
of him. They haven't even played a game yet, by the way. This is what's so great.
They won 8 games.
Look, Charlie, I agree with you. Look, I agree with you.
In 3 years.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because Brendan Schaefer, an alum, and I want Mizzou to succeed, don't get me wrong, but Brendan Schaefer said he is the guy that turned around Mizzou basketball. They have not played a game yet, which is awesome, because I agree with you.
They won the offseason, let's put it that
way. They did. I was driving in,
There's no way they will be terrible.
They can't possibly be as bad as they were last year.
They're setting themselves up for a letdown.
Yes, they are.
Everybody's so excited, but it's worth it after everything you've been through.
And have you seen the football team? What else are we going to talk about?
I was driving in, though, and I knew, even though it did sound like Brendan, I knew it wasn't Brendan because Sterk started talking about all the Mizzou baseball players with their RBIs and win totals.
Well, Frank, we now have a war stat for our swim team, and we're doing tremendous. You're like, is this Schaefer? But Frank could have really unnerved him. Okay, it's great to be here with Jim Sterk. He's done a fabulous job. Okay, who's your next Mizzou football coach? Like, well, Frank, it's great to be here in St. Louis. I mean, there's no way he's answering any question remote. I mean, I'm sure he'll say, we got to get more wins. We got to turn the program around. And in his mind, if you're the AD at Mizzou, you can't decide or you can't say, I'm firing this guy. But you're thinking, I better have a few names ready. I better call a couple of my buddies and see who's out there and what would it cost to get Les Miles. Does that make sense? You have to think about all of that stuff. You have to think about what if Konzo quit after 1 year, which he wouldn't. You have to be ready for all of that stuff.
You have to think about the fact that you're going to inevitably hire a search firm anyway and pay like $300,000 for them to tell you to hire the coach that you already
Correct.
Wanted to hire.
This is true.
I want to work for one of these search firms because is there an easier job than you just kind of say, well, I mean, you could always go after John Gruden and Les Miles needs a job. Hey, Jim Tressel, you never know. And then you throw out a couple hot assistants in the NFL. I mean, that's what they do. Seriously.
And
what
you,
does a search firm do?
Google. Usually the search firm is like a former agent on there and he used to represent Tom Herman or he used to represent the guy from the MAC that went to Iowa State that I was told was going to Mizzou, those kind of guys, they usually end up on a search firm. It's ridiculous. And Mizzou does. They used one to get Kim Anderson. The search firm's probably like, well, you can hire him. We've never heard of him. But if you want to go ahead and do it anyway, we're still getting paid.
I think the first step for a search firm is they basically start with, you know, the guy who's in charge goes, hey, who's Bleacher Report got as their top 10 college football assistants? Look at their latest slideshow. And let's start there. And then they kind of move on from there.
And also, I think if you're Jim Sterk, though, if he's looking for a coach down the road, again, if, he probably says, don't put any alums on that list.
Eliminating T.J. Moe immediately from the chance to be the next head coach.
No, I just think overall, and I hope Barry Odom stays. We saw what happened with Kim Anderson. Mizzou is not the first school. They will not be the last school to do this. We all love the alums, but in some cases, you do give an alum a job that you wouldn't give that person the job if they weren't an alum.
It's not the reason they get it, but it can be a tiebreaker.
It's a huge reason.
But it's not the
Kim
reason.
Kim Anderson, come on.
No, but it's not the reason. It's if you end up swinging and missing on three in a row or four of them, you're like, oh, we're in a spot here. The alum makes some sense for certain reasons. It's not the only reason you would hire a guy.
But if Kim Anderson, off winning the Division II National Championship, if he had been an assistant, let's say, at Kansas State for many years, not Mizzou, do you think Mizzou would ever hire Kim Anderson if there wasn't the sentiment of bring back the Norm days?
No, I mean, correct.
And this is not hindsight.
No, and this and he's a great guy. Correct. He's not.
He used to eat lunch with the media.
He's
on
not,
Mondays. Great guy.
Correct. He's not getting that job. Period. If he doesn't have a Mizzou connection, I agree with that. But it's not the only reason. You don't just hire somebody because
that's not what I'm saying. For example, Barry Odom, he probably would not have gotten a Power 5 job right off the bat if he didn't go to Mizzou, is my point. And he hadn't had all the ties here as an assistant coach and coming over to be the coach in waiting. Again,
it's not the only reason you do it, but it pushes you over the edge.
Maybe he gets a job at Eastern Carolina or Troy or Central Michigan or Memphis. But I doubt you get a Power 5 job as your first job at that young of an age if you're not an alum.
But I have to say about Jim Sterk, going into the search for a new basketball coach, I assumed, and I was wrong, I thought Konza's taking that Illinois job. They're going to throw a ton of money at him. He's a Big Ten guy. You know, he talks about his St. Louis roots a ton now, but I always thought, well, he's an East St. Louis guy. He's going to be back in the state of Illinois. They got a pipeline up there. He's going to get kids out of Chicago. I thought for sure he's going to Illinois, and I thought that was the better play if I'm him, that I could win right away at Illinois. I don't know if I can win right away at Mizzou. I was totally wrong, and for Jim Sterk, your take on him, your read on him is now 1,000%, at least for me, different before that search because I didn't, well, this guy, I don't know, he's from the West Coast. Does he know anybody? And who's he going to find? I didn't have the confidence, and he hits a home run. Now they got to go out and win. My confidence in him now to fix football, whatever that means, is greater than it was before the basketball decision.
Yes,
it's changed my opinion of his ability to do his job.
And let's be honest, had anyone here heard of Jim Sterk before he gets that job? Unless you're like a real kind of nerdy AD geek, you'd never heard of Jim Sterk. And I am super impressed with Jim Sterk every time we talk with him. All the moves he's made so far, he seems to be fantastic at raising money. He was talking with Frank about the end zone project at Mizzou, which is a $100 million project. They've already raised $50 million. The rest will be in bonds, all kinds of state-of-the-art equipment and weight rooms and meeting rooms and all that. And look, just look at Twitter, even though we were ripping on Twitter earlier. Look at all the recruits across the country. What do they love? What are they always putting on Twitter? When they get the uniforms and they take the pictures in front of the Heisman at the schools and they take pictures in the weight room and they have the recruiting nights. That stuff works. It really does. The kids love to take pictures and video, and you go there and they put the names on the scoreboard. That stuff matters, unfortunately.
And that was, to his credit, Gary Pinkel always talked about the uniforms. It drives old people like Doug Vaughn crazy, but the kids do like the weird random uniforms. You had to play to that. So Sterk was here. I'm not sure. Gardner, what do we have? The AD, if you missed it, the Missouri AD in St. Louis today, talking about a number of topics, which include...
One of them was fans leaving the game on Saturday.
That's a great question.
It is, and here's
it looked like a basketball game.
There's Jim's answer.
Yeah, that's tough. One I could understand. It was a hot afternoon. It was about 90, and we hadn't given them much hope for changing that game, and so you obviously want something to happen and a spark to happen and come back, but that was tough to see.
I think that's fair. That was tough
well
to
said.
See. And it is his seat. He might be with boosters who just gave $5 million for the new seating. Like, hey, Jim, you sure we're going to need all these new seats? Well, we'll get a new scoreboard, and that'll fix everything.
Right before kickoff, Jim's like, can I get that check now, before the end of the game? Just I want to make sure I get it to the bank early. Yeah. The bank
I'll be
on
right
Saturday.
Back, guys.
I think the bank's open till noon. Can I get that check now, please?
Do you think like when Mizzou puts out photos of the new South End Zone project with the new locker rooms and the facilities, including the weight rooms and all that, the stuff the kids like, Kara Spencer's going to quote tweet it and say, oh, that's going to fix everything. And then they'll be like, well, yeah, it's not going to hurt anything. It might help.
That should make you better at tackling, says older person so-and-so.
It does stink, though, because the fact that this year's Cardinals team, just locally, we need something to root for, and I don't think they're going to make the postseason. Technically, they still could. But Mizzou football this year had the chance to really kind of grab some people and grab some eyeballs, And you couldn't have scripted a worse first 3 weeks. Because think about it again. We weren't talking about Barry Odom hot seat before this season started. We kind of said, yeah, hopefully they get to 6 wins. Is that good enough improvement? And we'll see what happens after that. Maybe 8 wins in year 3. There wasn't this hot seat discussion. But now there is, and it's legitimate. And that's after 3 weeks.
And Martin, it's the first 3 weeks of the season.
Martin, you mentioned, you know, Jim having to address boosters and restless football fans right now, especially. He was asked that as well by Frank and how he goes about in talking to those folks.
Of the 14 schools in the SEC, I think 12 are saying that. So it's not uncommon. It's you know, football is demands a lot of attention and gets a lot of attention, not only, you know, here in Missouri, but across the country. And so that, you know, I'm very aware of that. And, you know, people, I just, you know, try to, you know, focus them on, there's 9 games left. We've got, you know, a whole season to play almost. And this team, you know, their goals were to win the SEC title. In 14, we lost to Georgia. I wasn't here, but I looked at the record, and then went on a 6-game winning streak. We lost to Georgia 38-0, and I think people were pretty down on the team, but then got momentum. We need some momentum back, and we need to play well this Saturday to do that.
I would have felt better if he'd said, Frank, you remember the 2011 Cardinals, don't you? I mean, and in 2006, I mean, they only won 83 games. The old 2011 mantra. No, he's doing his job, which is you can't sandbag a season. Maybe they'll jump up and beat Auburn on Saturday, Charlie.
I hope they do.
That'd be great.
I want Barry Odom to succeed.
For sure.
But for 3 weeks, it has been really, really bad. Really bad.
Can I tell you, one time off air, Scott Linehan started yelling at me because the night before, I'm sure I've told the story, but on our Sunday night show.
Speaking of Idaho, the Vandals.
They'll bite you. Watch out.
Watch out for those Vandals. David Vibara.
So I did the Monday coaches show with Scott Linehan, which is not easy some days. And I'd already forgotten. So I walk out to Rams Park. We sit down. We're going to tape the segment. The photographer is the great Tom Heisey.
He.
Who's like the most polite, neutral guy. He's setting everything up. So there's a little bit of downtime. Rams are 0-5 at the time, maybe 0-6. I can't remember.
Probably right.
So we've already done 5 or 6 of these Mondays. Well, that was a tough one. I turned into Doug Vaughn. I'm like, well, you go get them next week, won't you? And just to pass the time, they were playing Seattle next. And the Seahawks were on Sunday Night Football. So I said, Coach, you get a chance. This is not the interview. I'm just talking to him. And I said, Coach, you get the chance to watch the Seattle game last night. You check them out a little bit, you know, a little game planning. Not that it matters, but. And he said, he goes, yeah, I watched them right after I watched your bleeping show.
Nice.
And I go, oh, well, it's called Sports Final, actually. But, and I said, well, what do you mean? And he goes, you got Burwell on there burying me. And I said, well, I don't think he buried you. And he said, well, he said the problem is from the top down. And I said, well, honestly, he's not a big John Shaw fan. And I said, I think he's always been critical of the franchise, his leadership style, et cetera. I said, honestly, I don't think it was just about you. And you put up that screen or whatever. I said, well, it was a graphic, and it said through their first, I think it was their first 21 games, and it was win totals. And Mike Martz had, you know, like 21 or what, I don't know what it was.
Those are biased, though.
And then the next one was Scott Linehan. And I told him, I said, who was on the bottom of that list? Dick Vermeil was on the bottom of the list. And I said, Coach, the Sunday night show critiques the game. The Monday coaches show, you get the chance to provide answers. I said, I wasn't burying you. Brian's a columnist. That's what they do. They have opinions. That's the job. And then he kind of just goes into this whole diatribe about players that he's mad at and how the locker room's giving him a hard time. And I said, Coach, I said, I'm on your side. I said, I'm rooting for you. And I said that. And I told him there was a day with Claude Terrell in practice, like mouthed off. And I said, you should have fired him on the spot. You should have thrown him out of practice. I said, this team would have rallied and gotten excited. I go, but you guys let him come back that afternoon. I go, you should have taken that piece of whatever and just kicked him off the team. I'm telling him like what I would do if I were the coach. And then Tom's like, all right, boys, we ready? I'm like, sure, let's tape this interview.
And then you're like, welcome to Rams Weekly, another big week. Rams taking on the 49ers. Can't wait for this one, Coach. Tell me about your linebacker play.
All right, let's talk about it. Looks like, boy, Quentin Michael really ran down Beanie Wellman.
Tell me about Pisatino Isamoah. Really had, what do you have, six tackles the other
well,
day?
Well, Coach's tape now has looked at. It's actually 25.
We're checking the all 22.
The coach's tape would always come back. Like, hey, we had him with London Fletcher. I think we had him with eight tackles. No, coach's tape, he's up to 16. Combined team tackles, like 800 every game.
Jump on the pile.
But what was the point? The point was, well, we're rooting for him, rooting for Barrow. And I told Lenny, I said, listen, if you win and succeed, it makes everybody's job easier around here. I said, he made it sound like I was against him. And I said, listen, I'm the least of your problems. If the players are mad at you, that's a problem. I said, I'm not a problem. I hope you win. Barry Odom, who I think had, and another media member came up to me at Blues yesterday and said, does Odom remind you a little bit of Linehan?
Mm.
And I said, I mentioned that on the radio, that I just think, you know, quality person, might be a good head coach, but maybe just not the right time and place. And I said, I 100% agree. No offense.
Yeah, that's not a good comparison.
It's
to
not
make.
One you want to hear.
And again, we're reaching Kim Anderson territory because Barry Odom truly is a really nice guy that I think most people root for. He's a Missouri guy through and through. He's an alum. We all love that. But also, and I know it doesn't matter in terms of, because it's all about what they do on the field. But it is a bad optic when you don't allow the media at practice and then you lay eggs week after week after week. And you know what I'm saying? I think it does help to have the media all across the state on your side. And if you're not letting them watch practice, they're probably not going to give you the benefit of the doubt as much as if you just, I mean, let people go in there and watch practice for 20 minutes and film you doing some drills.
That's why some of the, I would say some of the venom towards the Spagnuolo-Devaney era, the reign of terror at Rams Park, was more harsh, more sarcastic because they came in, kicked Jim Hanifin out of the weight room, like, oh, for God's sakes. What if he actually bumped into one of your crappy old linemen and actually helped him? You know, that's why the criticism became even harsher. Now, I don't think Barry has not been unpleasant or a tyrant or anything, but you're right. Some of these college coaches get high on this, well, we got to close the doors. It's paranoia. I'm like, you can do that at Alabama. You can't do it at Mizzou.
We're going to work on our flea flicker. Nobody's ever done that before.
No, I 100%
agree.
We're
going to line up in the Wildcat. No one will expect this.
And that's another one I'll tell you off air. It was me and Rick Majerus. And we had an interview. And then after the interview, I said, Coach, I got to tell you. And he liked me because I went to Marquette. He went to Marquette. So we would just talk. And this was after the first year he was there. And they weren't any good.
Well.
I said, Coach, I got to tell you, your team's impossible to cover. And I can tell you how hard it is to get a camera. And this is before sports guys would even go shoot their own stuff. So it was either you got a camera.
Some sports guys shoot their own
stuff.
But
I'm saying, or you.
Some people think they're too good for it.
That's not true.
I'm not going to name any names.
That's not true. I got a lot on my plate, okay? I used to be a great high school football shooter back in Madison, Charlie.
Yeah, we all have stories.
Back in the day. So I said to him, in the news business, it's really hard. I go, you want to ask Frank, ask Doug Vaughn, he's got, get a camera to sit at a practice. That's tough. I said, and then you guys will tell us to be here at 4, and at 6 o'clock, we still don't have access. I said, that's a killer. Well, I'm busting my butt to get this team better. I said, I understand that. I said, but we go to West Pine Gym, and you've got newspaper over the windows. And I said, and you're 10 and 15. I go, it's a bad look. And well, I got stuff I'm working on. I said, I understand. And I said, you've won a ton. You don't need me to tell you what to do. I said, but you're St. Louis U in this market. You got to work a little harder than that. I said, people are going to just stop covering your program. And I said, to me, you don't want that. Well, I'm busting my butt. I go to these police luncheons. I said, I understand all that. And then he starts yelling at the SID who was sitting right there. I didn't know any of this stuff. How come you didn't tell me this stuff? And I was like, don't yell at him, coach. I'm telling you. They work for you. They're going to do whatever you tell them. And so he was like really upset. He goes, well, you're the first guy that told me this. And I said, well, we're laughing when we see the newspapers on the window and you lose by 25 to, you know, Stetson. Jesus.
Stetson had a good squad, though.
Okay, they were underrated.
Man,
so the point is
Coach Majerus.
Not about the media. The point is if you have that look and then you don't succeed, it looks worse.
I remember one time the greatest
let's go beat Auburn. Come on. Yeah. You know, this is really negative and hostile. If they beat Auburn, Shake's not going to go to a game.
Can we at least cover against Auburn?
Cover.
Okay. 18.5 points.
Is that what it is?
Is that too much to ask?
These are good stories,
though.
Cover
the spread, yeah.
And Rick Majerus. Rick Majerus. The greatest thing about Rick Majerus was you would ask him a question about just something basketball related, and he would go right to something that you totally didn't ask about at all, and he would have like a 9-minute response. He'd finally get to your question at the end, but he would cover like every topic going on earth. I remember one time I asked him just a random question. He's like, you know, we don't even have enough baskets here to shoot free throws. And I was like, I asked him about, you know, Tommy Liddell. He's like,
you notice, you ever been to other programs? They have, you know, 6 or 7 standards to shoot free throws.
And I'm like, okay.
Our Gatorade's watered down.
I love that, dude. And also, I wasn't there at the beginning where a lot of people I heard did complain about media access. I mean, once
and
I got
because,
here.
Like, our sportscast will be filled one way or the other. My point to him was you want coverage if you're the Billikens. You need coverage.
True that. And the Billikens are back, and Mizzou basketball's back, and we got to get Mizzou football back.
All right, last Majerus, since we're rambling a bit. And Bob Ramsey really needs to be on this show because he hosted the Majerus show.
Great show.
And it, for
hilarious.
Many, for a while, it was on 590 on Monday nights. And they were clearly on remote, and it would be like 6:57, and the music would start playing. I mean, it's time to go. And he's like, oh, you know, Rammer, I'm hearing music. What's going on here? And like, and of course, Rammer is probably like, he would just say, turn the music down. And then it's like, now it's like 7:02. He's like, coach? And he's like, you know, I'll tell you what, though. You know, I'm not going to go on a date with Christy Brinkley. I know that, you know, so I prefer cheesecake. But, you know, and he's going like, and Rammer's like, okay, we should probably get going. Okay, we'll join Monday Night Football in progress. So he would just tell these stories, and he couldn't stop. And he's talking about recruiting one time. And clearly he was before the PC police, even though he was a very liberal guy. But he was not politically correct at all. So he's talking about recruiting, and it's I'm driving in my car listening to 590, and he's talking about UCLA. Well, you know, how hard is it to recruit to UCLA? I mean, you got the beautiful girls. It's Los Angeles. And I mean, maybe there's more Asians than some people like. But, you know, I'm like, you can't say that. But he did. If that happened now,
yeah,
somebody would tweet it. And we would be down there asking the president of St. Louis U, what are you going
to
do about
this? Wait, that wasn't a direct quote from you? I have
that
change something
me.
On Twitter. Hold
Brandon,
on a second.
Brandon, come on.
I remember,
I would never. I call people older persons, okay? I'm very correct.
Another time I was listening to the same show. And again, I think Rammer just asked him a question not related to this answer he gave. He's like,
you know, I mean, we played St. Joe's there in Philly, and you know, maybe I shouldn't mention this, but I was, you know, talking to this gambling guy, and he said, you know, we were one of the best teams in the country against the spread. I don't know if I should say that.
Did he really say that?
Yes. And it was just like, Rammer didn't prompt him at all. And clearly he was like, just probably had a chat with a wise guy who was trying to get, you know, some info on the next game, whether they cover or not.
Eventually, because I had to run the board for some of those on the FM side at one point, on NFL FM. And, it got to the point where he got tired of taking breaks during the middle of the show. So there would just be a lump break at the end of the hour. So it would be a 12-minute break at the end of the hour, and he'd talk for 45 minutes or whatnot.
It's probably the only way to do it.
And then, you know, you'd just hear him gnawing on some ribs here and there, and then, you know, Pappy's would bring something over, and then, you know, that'd be it. That's a show right there.
Frank would walk into his office at the Chaffetz, and he'd be eating a sandwich. He loved that. Was it Adriana's? Is that the one in the
Adriana's,
West?
Yep.
He would always have a sandwich from there, and Frank would walk. He loved Frank, and he would walk in. Hey, Frank, you want a bite? And Frank would be like, hey, of your sandwich? Like, no, I just ate. And I'm like, in the history of the world, it's the first time Frank Cusimano ever turned down food.
I would take that bite.
No, you
no,
wouldn't.
I no, promise you, I would.
Boy, because you're breaking bread?
I would take that bite for the story, because that's a good story.
I think the story works either way.
I would take that bite.
And I think you were. I might have mentioned this before, too, Martin, and I think, well, I know you were there. It was when he first got to town and, like, the first media access, I think, they kind of just had him do one-on-ones with television, and you guys took your turns. I remember Frank being there.
We're sitting on the floor at Chaffetz, probably.
Frank cut in line so he could go first.
Before Chaffetz. I mean,
okay,
I think it was over
meal,
at West Pine.
If it's your last meal, this is going to take a while, Frank.
But, well, it's funny you say that because, like, you guys did your thing, and I was working for, like, a broadcast wire service at the time called Metro Networks. So I was just there to get some sound bites, basically. I didn't need the one-on-one interviews. So I let you guys go all first because, you know, you had your stuff to do and your deadlines. And then I'm left there with Coach Majerus. And I'm like, I don't need much time, Coach. And I just need a couple bites, really. And so, bites. And then it ended up going 15 minutes. I think I asked three questions. And I only had, like, really a minute and a half of something I could use. Because for 7 of the minutes of that conversation, he was talking about how he wanted to get Humphreys to get a different type of bratwurst into the into the bar. It like, the conversation went off the rails so quick, and I was so unskilled at keeping it back, you know, returning it to basketball. It was just, all right.
You could have been Bob Costas, yeah. And you would not have been able to get that one back on track.
Yeah.
And then Gardner calls, like, the Metro News Desk or Illinois AP, like, yeah, what do you got for us today? What the coach talk about his return to the bench after all these? Well, I got a 7-minute bratwurst answer. All right, my last Majerus, and it goes back to being politically incorrect, but because he liked me and he knew I'd worked in Wisconsin and went to Marquette, he knew I liked the Packers. And so he stops me one day and said, hey, you ever get that Wheaties box? I know I've told this story. And I said, the Wheaties box? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers on the cover. And I'm like, Aaron Rodgers on the week. He goes, oh, I gave it to the black guy. And I said, what's that? And I'm like, I'm uncomfortable even repeating the story. And I said, you did what? And he goes, who's the black guy you work with? And I said, well, Rob Dazier's African American and Maurice Stroman's African American. You know, I'm the white guy. You know, and I'm like, and he's like, Mo. I gave him. And so it became a running joke with me and Maurice, because like a year later, Maurice found it in his trunk. It probably says more about the mayor, Mo, who I love, than it does about Majerus. But he stopped me in the hall. He said, did you ever get that thing? What are you talking about? He said, oh, you're black. I'm like, I don't think you could say that. You just can't say that. And again, I think he had the biggest heart, and he was miserable to a lot of people. He was a total jerk to a lot of people. But I think he was very liberal, and he just had no idea how politically incorrect he actually was.
But also, one of the great characters in sports.
Well, and
we need more of that. And I'm not saying everything sometimes people say is perfect, but he was a great character.
Well, talk about being politically incorrect, yet being liberal. I mean, there's irony involved when, I think it was halftime of the Mizzou-Illinois basketball game, he's back in when he was a broadcaster of the ESPN as a studio analyst. You know, it's one of my favorite Majerus moments when him and Lavin are talking about a previous game and Rudy Gay at UConn, and of course this happened.
And to help Rudy Gay.
You know what, you mentioned Gay. I'm not a big Gay guy because he's inconsistent. He has these peaks and valleys. Some games he disappears. I really like those guys that are rock solid that you can, you know, rely on. And
Andre Miller.
Have a reliability.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, if you watch Gay, he has too many peaks and valleys for my liking.
There you go.
He's not a big Gay guy. Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought he was a big liberal. That was a drop for a while on the morning grind, I believe.
He did not.
But the sad thing is, so when he died, and we'll move on. We got a lot to get. We got a team that's six.
People, first of all, people are loving this.
We got a Cardinal team that's 6 games out of the division.
Oh, who cares?
And we're talking about
honestly,
Rick
McGarrett. People like this stuff.
Hey, they pitched Brett Cecil for 3 innings. They told me the season was over. Okay. But what
Majerus,
was the story?
Tell
Majerus.
Me more.
Majerus story. No. So when he died, it was a Saturday night, and I went in on the Sunday morning show with Andy Banker. And we love Andy Banker, even though he's mad at the scoreboard.
Yeah, what's with that, by the way?
That was weird. Andy's like the biggest homer in the world, and then he's mad at the score, but it's not good enough. Why don't you run for Alder person? So Andy's on the Sunday morning show, and he is leading in to me about Majerus. He said, our hearts are heavy this morning. The city is saddened. And I was like right around the corner waiting to go on, and I was thinking, yeah, I don't, that's kind of a bit much. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I liked Majerus. I'm sad. It's terrible. But he walks and he's like, and with that, we bring in Martin. I said, Andy, I don't think the whole city's sad. I mean, I think it's upsetting. It's disappointing. But what
you're
terrible.
No, you're terrible.
You're a terrible person. No, it wasn't.
But you are.
I don't think it was 100% accurate. You know?
Martin, you're an ass.
Okay, Kenny wins. Okay. All right, Kenny, you're right. I am an ass. I just thought it was a little overstated, even in his passing, and I just wanted to clarify, and I said, he was a fascinating character. He did what he said he was going to do, which was to come to St. Louis U and make their basketball team relevant, get them back to the tournament. I said, to me, the real sadness is that he had just kind of gotten comfortable and he was getting more likable. And I think even people that he probably had nuked at the SLU campus maybe were starting to see a different side. Certainly the public was starting to enjoy his program, because he really worked hard early on. He did some weird stuff, and now all of a sudden it's going well, and then he dies. I said, to me, that was the sadness, because he would have been like a Spoon Hour kind of guy.
For sure.
Not as warm and fuzzy, but I'm just saying in popularity. He was about to be hugely popular in this town, and then he dies right after he gets him to the tournament, you know, that next year.
And we're laughing with him.
Absolutely.
I remember watching an interview at Fox 2. I was kind of logging the post-game sound, trying to get a sound bite, you know, 25, 30 seconds to air on the show, and he always went really long. And I swear to you, I could probably find this tape. He was, like, aggressively scratching his eye for, like, 3 minutes straight, as if he was, like, trying to pick a sty off his eye. I'm talking, like, as he's,
well, you know, Tommy Liddell shot well, and, you know, Kevin Lish.
And as he's doing that, the whole time for like 3 minutes, he's aggressively scratching his eye, and you can't look at anything but that. But that was Coach.
This segment, if you're going to podcast, I guess, is about Mizzou football struggling / Rick Majerus
stories. It's just
going to
be called Story Time with the Midday Grind.
Story Time.
Listen
like
to this.
That.
Text line. Love the Majerus talk. Anytime old stories come up, I can't turn the radio off. Great job. Keep talking about this, please. One of the best segments, and I'm laughing at my desk. Hilarious stories keep going. Majerus turned me on to the Bon Gusto at Kimmel's, and for that, I will forever be grateful.
He used to go to LaRusso's and get, what's the cold soup, like the chipacho?
Gazpacho.
Or something. Is that what it is?
Gazpacho, yeah.
He was famous for going to LaRusso's and getting that. No, so, I do miss him, because he was going to be huge in this town in terms of his personality and having fun, because you could ask him anything, and he might just say anything.
Are you getting ready to take a break and then come back and let's take
I think
a,
we should just take a monster
break?
Majerus. And as an homage to Rick Majerus, yeah. We've gone through this whole hour.
Just imagine, like, if he was there now with the coaches, managers involved throughout the St. Louis area, which personality would stand out most?
Oh, absolutely. Majerus would be huge in this town.
And obviously the death was a tragedy. You also think about the team, though. And he has a team where takes him to the NCAA tournament, and he passes away, and Jim Cruz takes those same bunch of players back to the tournament for a couple more years. Rick Majerus, I believe he passed away at 65 or 66. I mean, he could have been here for another 5-6 years if he's healthy, and literally turned St. Louis U into a Gonzaga Xavier-type program. I don't think that's going out on a limb.
No, I mean, the guy won at Ball State, you know, and then turned Utah into a national power. That was fun. I enjoyed that. I like those stories. Story time on the midday. Some days my wife will say, okay. Some days she'll say, what are you guys talking about today? I'm like, well, we got, you know, Mike Martzo, we got Tony La Russa, you know, we've. And then some days I'm like, I don't know.
We'll see. A lot to get to.
We'll see. We do have a lot to get to. By the way, Kara Spencer is at it again. She is the older person from the city who is at odds with the Blues. And of course, it's easy to stereotype. Well, you're the sports guy. That's all you care about is hockey.
Is that Majerus?
Yeah. We're adding Majerus to our Constitution read next year, Declaration of Independence. But Kara Spencer, again on Twitter, and she's the one who went back and forth, not back and forth, went at Frank yesterday, and she tweeted this morning, Blues fans want to know, without hockey, why would people come to the city? And then she types, where to start, ... And my point would be to her, it's not just hockey. It's having an arena that draws events and brings people to downtown. And don't tell me about your friend who's having a festival where they're making beads and 20 people are standing on the corner. I'm sorry. Are there great things?
They're actually a sponsor, though.
Are there great things happening in the city, in every little neighborhood? Absolutely. There's a ton of reasons to go to the city. You go to the West End. You can go to the Grove. You can go to Sula. There's a lot of fun areas to go to. That's not the point. The point is you have a revenue generator sitting next to City Hall that the city owns. It's called the Arena, that brings thousands and thousands and thousands of people in millions and millions and millions of dollars into your city. Okay? Take that away, and you don't have any money to spend on programs. That's how it all works. That's Blues fans want to know, without hockey, why would people come to the city? Where to start? Well, we're having a flower festival over here on the corner of Martin. Now I'm mocking, but
that's okay.
Why do you hate flowers?
Drives me crazy. Let's talk about one of our great sponsors.
Flora and Fauna?
First of all, let's do this. Chuck, the Wiffle Ball Tournament, let's remind everybody, that is coming up soon, and I actually have the book.
Sure is. It's I believe it's Saturday, September 30th at gorgeous Francis Park. It's sponsored by Birdies for Bipolar.
You know, he took the book, and then he started, you know, he looked at me like I should know, but, you know, it's not really my fault. Hey, Chuck, get in here.
Introducing 590 The Fan's fourth annual charity wiffle ball tournament benefiting Birdies for Bipolar. That's Mike Wellington's fantastic charity. He also wrote a very good book by the same name. You should check that out. But the wiffle ball tournament presented by Bud Light, DB Sports Bar, Gold's Gym, Country Financial, and 7-Up. The fourth annual wiffle ball tournament will take place on Saturday, September 30th at the gorgeous Francis Park in South City starting at 10 in the morning. Sign up your team of four players today on InsideSTL.com for only $150 per team. This includes round-robin group play with winners advancing to the knockout rounds. There will be barbecue, beers, mixed drinks, and water for purchase, all from our lovely friends over at DB Sports Bar. So sign your team up today while teams still remain. And even if you don't play, come out and enjoy the pony. It's a fun time. I was there last year. Our team didn't advance, but it was a hell of a time.
You know, Rammer, why would they have a pony there? You know, I don't understand.
All right, before the break, also let me tell you that Offenburg Hyundai at O'Fallon, Illinois, easy to get to from downtown St. Louis. It's a short ride to a great deal. Highway 64, Greenmount Road is the exit. O'Fallon, Shiloh exit, Offenburg Hyundai. .com is the website. Great-looking vehicles, whether you're talking about the Genesis, the Sonata, the Elantra, and how about the SUVs that aren't the size of a, you know, like a tank. Get yourself a reasonable-sized SUV like the Santa Fe or the Tucson. A little room in the back, but also great gas mileage. That's what the Hyundai brand's been all about, great gas mileage. They hired the top engineers, the top designers, did that years ago, and now have an award-winning product. And the place to buy your next car is Offenburg Hyundai. And again, on the web, you'll also find the selection of pre-owned vehicles, find cars for less than $10,000 right there on the lot. And if they don't have the car you're looking for, you just let them know. They have a full-time buyer on staff, which means they can find that car for you. So if you've done your internet search, you call them up, ask for Matt Offenburg, anybody on the team over there, tell them what kind of car you're looking for, and they will find it for you. And again, on the web at Offenburg Hyundai. .com. Jeff Rainford coming up next. We'll try and get through some of this Blues math. And by the way, the Blues, I was told, you know, all that renovation, the work was done this summer, but yet the money has not been passed over. They took out a loan so they could pay all the contractors, and they're waiting for that money to be paid back to them. That's just kind of, they've been good public citizens. That's
50 years.
That's what drives me crazy about this whole argument. Well, we're having a lemonade stand. All right, I better take a break before I say something really offensive. I'm turning into Majerus. It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan.